Good morning and welcome to Talk of Our Towns. And as you've probably already ascertained, I am not Donna Quinn. I am, however, David Hall, and I'm here with a very good friend of the Astoria community and the Lower Pacific region, Keith Clark, the music director and maestro of the Astoria Music Festival. Keith, welcome to KMUN this
morning. Oh, thank you. It's so nice to be here, David.
The three of us, my good engineer Tonto and I and you, were all at the Italian Baroque concert last night at the Grace Episcopal Church. And what a magnificent setting for that kind of music. And I hope we get to do it again sometime.
Oh, that was a terrific concert. It's the first time we have performed in Grace Episcopal Church, and it is the perfect venue for the sort of very intimate music that we heard last night.
Right.
It was a very sophisticated concert. And I must tell you, David, I was so, of course, proud of the musicians. They are some of the best on the West Coast.
Absolutely.
For this sort of music. But even more so, I was so proud of our audience that we turned people away. We had a sold-out concert for music that was written around 1600.
100 years before Bach.
It was the most sophisticated music that you can imagine, and that such a crowd came out, listened intently, and gave a standing ovation to music that was written around 1610, 1620.
Right.
That really is a mark of distinction for the musical sophistication and artistic sensibilities of the people of Astoria.
That's incredible. Yes, I think so. Tonight, we have a concert at the Performing Arts Center at 16th and Franklin, J. Walt's Spontaneous Fantasia with the Los Angeles Virtuosi, and the Virtuosi are Olivia Tsui on violin, I guess, and Garrick Terzi, and correct me if my pronunciations are wrong,
oh,
on
great.
Cello, and Mark Robson on piano. It's a great lineup for those of you who felt that the last night's music was a little too old for you. This is a mixture. We have a little Vivaldi for you, Rimsky-Korsakov, Sanson, Gershwin, and Eric Satie. But this concert is one we can't broadcast on KCPB, as we did last night's concert and are doing so many of them, because it's visual as well as audio.
Yes, this is going to be something, now for something entirely different. J. Walt is an extremely creative guy in the Hollywood community. He has won an Academy Award for his technical visualizations and computer-generated visions. And so what tonight's concert is, he's brought a lot of gear from Hollywood and will be improvising or making on the spot three-dimensional, high-definition films in response to the music.
Oh, my goodness.
And so in a way, it is similar to, the old Disney Fantasia.
Yes, yes.
That very familiar popular music.
With dancing elephants.
And I can't guarantee dancing elephants, but I can guarantee some very interesting stuff.
Right.
Two very familiar music, Vivaldi's Seasons and the Carnival of the Animals.
The Flight of the Bumblebee.
So it's the sort of thing that will be a delight to all generations.
Right.
It will be, if kids come, they're going to, well, of course, for them, these visual computer-generated animations, that's their world.
Sure.
For old folks such as myself, it's going to be a very interesting thing. But it will be a little bit similar to, those of us that can still remember Pink Floyd.
Oh, yes.
Light shows at rock concerts,
right?
So it's for something for the grandparents and the kids, and it should be great.
That's great. You know, and those tickets are only $15, and there are still tickets available tonight for that concert. And tomorrow night, we have Ruth Ann Svensson's master class at the Liberty, at the Performing Arts Center, rather, and there are tickets available for that as well.
Yeah, that was one of our most popular events last year. You'd see Ruth Ann Svensson, great international soprano, and her husband, David Bernakis, who is a vocal coach and accompanist from San Francisco. We'll see them work with some of our fine vocal apprentices this year. We have 22 singers from all over the country and Canada who are here for 3 weeks to work with our faculty, with Ruth Ann, with Mark Robeson from the Los Angeles Opera. And they are getting vocal training, German instruction, a daily German class.
Oh, my goodness.
In preparation for next weekend's fully staged production of Mozart's Magic Flute that will be on the 29th and Friday night and Sunday afternoon, July 1st. That's the culmination of a long long days and nights of instruction, and what would be very interesting tomorrow night is to watch Ruth Ann Swenson sharing the expertise and her experience of a lifetime at the great opera houses of the world with the next generation.
She's such a great performer and such a real person when she's off stage, too. It's a delight to watch her work. We are going to be going back to broadcasts of the Astoria Music Festival on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. On Friday, we have the Astoria Music Festival Chamber Players. Kerry Lewis is the director of that group, and a program of Schubert, Poulenc, and one of my favorite pieces, the Mendelssohn Octet, which is scheduled for Friday's concert.
Well, that concert really is sort of the all-star game. It's The octet is eight of our finest string players. Earlier in the evening is the Poulenc septet for winds and piano.
Right.
And that's a very brilliant tongue-in-cheek French piece. And the Mendelssohn octet, of course, is one of the great classics composed when he was just a youngster.
Right,
he was,
right.
But such brilliant music.
Love it. Love it. Absolutely. And one of the most popular sessions is always the Saturday afternoon session with Sergei, and the chance for the audience to interact with him at the Liberty, and that's just an incredible. That's 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon, chamber music happy hour from Russia with Cello with Sergei Antonov, Roy Mellon, and Kerry Lewis, and a great program there too.
Oh, Arensky Trio is just such a beautiful, romantic showpiece for these three fine musicians. As you say, Sergei Antonov, who has been with us now for a number of years, the youngest gold medal winner of the Tchaikovsky competition, which is the most prestigious music competition in the world.
Yeah.
And Roy Milland's concertmaster of the San Francisco Opera and Ballet Orchestras, and Kerry Lewis, who without whom we could not function.
Incredible.
Kerry has been part
talent.
He's the busiest pianist on the face of the planet. And the three of them, when they get together, sparks fly.
Incredible talent. I noticed that Sergei, we interviewed Sergei, and he said he was going to have his new CD here by the 21st. And he's learned to market in Astoria. He has a picture of the Astoria Megler Bridge on the cover of the CD.
Was quite a surprise. Unknown to us, he produced a CD of music that he's been playing here over the years, and especially for the Astoria Music Festival and his friends in Astoria.
Right. He really enjoys himself here, I think. But you'll hear the Mazarsky pictures in an exhibition, and as well as the Arensky, and some selected short works by Tchaikovsky. Anton Arensky was an interesting composer for me, one of the most underappreciated and underplayed. He was a student of Rimsky-Korsakov, and then he went over to the Moscow Conservatory and taught there, and among his students were Sergei Rachmaninoff and Alexander Scriabin. And when you listen, I'm going to, on the other side, on the other channel over here on KCPB in the next hour, we're going to be playing a little Arensky. We're going to play his work for two pianos, his children's suite.
And, that's great.
He's such a, you know, you listen to Arensky and some of Rachmaninoff's words in tandem, and it's hard to tell who was the instructor and who was the student, because somebody did a little plagiarization, I think, occasionally, but it's hard to tell who's the guilty party.
in the world of music, we call that being influenced.
Influence, not plagiarization or borrowing.
borrowing has I believe it was Stravinsky said that lesser composers borrow, masters steal.
Very good. Well, there are a limited number of notes, and it's a limited number of ways to put them together too in combination. So over time, somebody has to has to be a little bit.
And you are absolutely correct in saying that he is an underappreciated composer, because I'm sure if audiences come on Saturday, they will hear just absolutely.
If you love beautiful piano music,
yeah,
be sure and hear the piano trio of Wrensky on Saturday, as well as all the other work that's being done there. And then Saturday night, one of my favorite evenings, Brahms.
Well, we've never done a Brahms symphony, and in fact, we've only played one piece of Brahms in 10 years.
Really?
So we decided we'd fix that. One of the reasons we haven't done much Brahms is that Brahms is music, middle of the 19th century, mm-hmm. romantic, big gestures, is often thought of as music for big symphony orchestra, which cannot fit on the Liberty stage. But if you look back, Brahms' first orchestra, or the orchestra for which he wrote much of his music, was in northern Germany, mining in Germany. And his orchestra there was 40 players, which is exactly the size of our orchestra.
Right.
So we will be hearing the music in the way that Brahms envisioned it, not with big sprawling MGM sort of sound, but very clear, classical sound.
Super.
And the Brahms Second Symphony is his happiest music. It's his sunny symphony. There's not much tragedy behind the scenes on this one. It's just gorgeous music.
He still hadn't been completely disappointed in love at that point.
I think he was disappointed in love his entire life, the poor guy.
You know, that's the story of many composers, as it turns out. A number of them had love disappointments in their life. You're going to do the double concerto, too, in A minor, which is a favorite piece of music of mine.
Yes, that's a piece that harkens back to music of a bygone era, the Baroque period, mm-hmm. where instead of having one soloist, you would have several. It was the old-fashioned form that it was called Concerto Grosso, just a big concerto, and it is big. It's for cello and violin. We're fortunate to have the husband-wife team of Anthea Creston and Jason Duckles, who are themselves two-thirds of the acclaimed, internationally active Amelia Trio.
Amelia, yes.
So we'll be hearing a sort of domestic conversation between these two instruments. Brahms wrote this actually to try and regain the friendship of his one of his pals that he had taken the side of Mrs. Schumann when they were having a domestic dispute, Mr. and Mrs. Schumann. And the violinist, for whom he had also written the violin concerto, took the side of the husband.
Oh,
and Brahms took the side of the wife in this domestic argument. Well, never get in the middle of something like that. That's the lesson learned. And that violinist did not speak to Brahms for at least 20 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And Brahms tried to make it up for him, make it up to him by composing this concerto, which the violinist proceeded to say, this is unplayable. But we'll hear Saturday night that it is very playable and very beautiful.
Excellent. We also have on tap one of the audience favorites, the Academic Festival Overture.
Which is the only funny thing that Brahms ever did in his life. It was he was getting a honorary doctorate from university, and the old professors at the university expected him to produce yet one more of his serious pieces filled with intellectual stuff. And instead, Brahms surprised them with this cheery overture based on three student drinking songs that delighted the students and disappointed and upset the dour old professors.
And you know, I've read a story someplace about Brahms. He was sort of irascible and never really was very complimentary to everyone. But in one case, I read a story about I think it was Bruckner was laboring through a piece, playing a piece for Brahms, and laboring through the piece, and at the end of it, he sort of looked to Brahms for, you know, comments on the piece, and Brahms said, "Where do you get your paper? I like the paper you use." And that's all he said about the piece. You're listening to Talk of Our Towns, and I'm David Hall, sitting in for Donna Quinn today. I don't look or sound anything like Donna. Our guest today is Keith Clark, music director of the Astoria Music Festival, and we're talking about the festival and musicians and music in general. One thing that has always been on my mind is how in the devil, when you plan these festivals, what do you start with? What do you start with? Guests, soloists, or do you start with music first? And how do you put these whole things together?
Well, everything, each summer is a bit different. As you say, sometimes it's based on the availability of certain soloists who step forward and say, "Oh, can I come?" Such was the case this summer when Angela Mead, a year ago or 2 years ago, expressed an interest in coming back to Astoria and singing the role of Norma that has become her calling card all over the world, that thrust her onto the international stage. And I said, absolutely. So that became the one of the centerpieces,
right,
of this summer's program. The availability of our growing musical family, people who are coming back year after year. Elizabeth Pitcairn, who was just here with her red Stradivarius violin, and Sergei, who's coming, has been coming summer after summer. They often express the sort of music that they'd like to play this summer, That's where some of that comes from. Some summers, we have been extremely thematic in basing.
We had the bicentennial here, and so we
bicentennial. So we looked at music that had been composed 200 years ago by Beethoven. For a few years ago, when Mozart celebrated his 250th birthday, we played almost entire summer of Mozart. But this summer, it's more varied.
Yeah,
ranging from, as I had said previously, this very sophisticated early Baroque music to Jay Walt and his light show.
Right. You know, I said this morning earlier over on the other side that Jay Walt's selection of music of the spring and so on and so forth really brought about this day of sunshine. I think it happened because of that concert tonight. We have sun shining today, so the music festival can take credit for the sunshine this evening, during the day. On Sunday, an afternoon in Old Vienna, we have three great stars again.
Well, this was an example of how do we select programs. We asked soloists what sort of music they wish to play, and each one of them, of course, chose their favorites. And for Sergei, that meant the Haydn First Cello Concerto, brilliant piece. Alexander Dossin, a internationally recognized recording artist, who fortunately for us has moved to Eugene, where he's
a
pianist in residence. He will be playing Mozart Concerto. And Ruth Ann Swenson, who will have spent a week and a half, almost 2 weeks with us. Well, exactly 2 weeks with us, will say farewell to the festival for this year with a farewell piece. Mozart had a favorite soprano from England. Her name was Nancy Storace, or Storace, if you use Italian pronunciation. And she was one of his favorites, and knowing Mozart, maybe in not just his favorite soprano. Mm-hmm. But she sang, was the first person, he wrote the role of Susanna in The Marriage of Figaro for her, and a number of other pieces. By all reports, she was just charming, beautiful, wonderful singer. And when she decided to move back to London, she gave a farewell concert in Vienna, and Mozart wrote a piece for her as his own personal farewell. And it is a concert aria. That is to say, it's a sounds like it's opera, but it's not from an opera.
Right.
And it is for soprano and piano, piano obbligato. The piano embellishes what she is singing and weaves around her voice. So we will present Ruth Ann Swenson, one of the great Mozartians of our era, singing Ch'io mi scordi di te, is the name of this aria, with Alexander Dossine playing the role of Mozart as the
pianist,
as the piano soloist, embellishing what Ruth Ann will be singing. And then on the, so all of these pieces were composed in Vienna, Haydn, Mozart. And so to build on that theme, we'll do some very popular music, beloved by everyone, from Johann Strauss, the Waltz Kings, operetta Die Fledermaus, and which usually is associated with New Year's because there's a big champagne party, but it's it's a nice party music for any season, even a sunny Sunday afternoon.
That's super. Next week we have performances of the Magic Flute. And that's with the Apprentice Group, and we're looking forward to that as well. Both of these performances are at the Performing Arts Center, one on Friday and one on Sunday afternoon. This is the longest festival that you've had here.
Well, actually, in the early days, the 10 years ago, 9 years ago, the festival was 3 weeks long.
Oh, really? 3 weeks?
And three very full weeks, and which was perhaps a bit premature to have such a big appetite early in the summer, but we've always looked toward the time when it will be possible. And of course, finances are always an issue. The piper must be paid. And last summer we experimented, and this summer we finalized 3 weekends of music.
That's super.
And this third weekend, and it will be a terrific music lovers weekend. It's the Mozart Magic Flute, for my money, greatest opera of Mozart, one of the high watermarks of all music, and Bach.
Yes, now, Goldberg.
Bach wrote a theoretical piece called the Goldberg Variations, called that because Mr. Goldberg was probably the first person to play this composition that demonstrated how one can vary musical ideas, exactly the way Dizzy Gillespie or someone would take a theme and do everything possible with it. Well, Bach did that. He was originally for keyboard. We have a wonderful pianist coming to play it at 2 in the afternoon. This is on the 30th of June. And then in the evening will be the first the debut in our music festival of the great Portland Baroque Orchestra playing on Baroque instruments. The same, so we'll be able to hear the piece in two different guises, one for solo piano, one for Baroque Orchestra, and it will be quite a day.
Okay.
And you can get half off on the evening concert.
Oh, really? Good. Excellent. Two other things we have coming up, and we haven't forgotten the children. On this Saturday, the 23rd at 11 a.m. at the PAC, there's the Mozart's Magic Flute for Children. And then on the 30th, our own KMUN Troll Radio Review Can You Beat It? Musicians of the Astoria Music Festival join a fun morning of music for winds and percussion at a climax to beat your own, chance to beat your own percussion instrument. So the children are included as well. All in all, we've been through four concerts, and everything has been fantastic. I told Diane it must be easy to slip from the treasurer's job right into the president's job with such ease of transition, and everything has gone so well.
Well, without Diane Tiedemann, our president, and our board, and about 150 volunteers, we would not be able to manage this music festival.
Well,
to the city of Astoria and the people of Astoria that have been so supportive of us.
And we're delighted at Coast Community Radio for the opportunity to broadcast once again on KCPB at 90.9 FM, many of the broadcasts, and also this year streaming to the world. And we've had comments from people in New York and Montreal and Manitoba, Chicago, San Antonio, all hearing the Astoria Music Festival.
And I know some of my friends in Vienna and Salzburg are
really
tuning in,
well.
And I think my Russian friends are going to be the orchestra that I conduct in Russia. I think they're all tuning in on Saturday.
Excellent. So, we've had the Glier family listening to us on a concert, so a little local symphony. We did his harp work, but it's just delightful to have the opportunity again to spread this music throughout the world. If you love music, there's an old Swedish proverb: happiness shared is happiness doubled. If you can share music with others, if you enjoy music and the happiness of music, and be able to share it with others, it's a great opportunity, and it's a really good feeling.
And this coming weekend's a great one. Come to Astoria, come to the Scandinavian Festival.
Yes, it's on.
And enjoy some Scandinavian food and culture. And
four great concerts.
And then hear some music. You could have a whole weekend here.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to it. Terry and I will be there with bells on. Maybe we shouldn't put our bells on. Maybe leave our bells at home. But we will be there. And we've enjoyed chatting with you again, always. And congratulations on another great festival. You seem to outdo yourself every year. So thanks again. And we'll look forward to next year.
Well, thanks, David. Thanks to the station, and thanks to all the people of Astoria for making this possible.
And you've been listening to Talk of Our Towns with David Hall, sitting in for Donna Quinn, and chatting with Keith Clark, music director of the Astoria Music Festival. Once more, the 10th festival season and the 7th season that we broadcasted on KCPB. Thanks again, Keith.